Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Patient Players Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Daniel. I will be your host on this magnificent podcast episode, joined by my co-host, Jordan. How are you doing, Jordan?
Hi, I am your magnificent co-host, Jordan, joined by my magnificent co-host, Daniel. How you doing today, Daniel?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking, co-host Jordan.
I almost called you Jordan. If we do an episode that ever like ends on April 1st, we need to act like or do an entire episode acting the most we can like the other person for the
whole thing.
We did.
We definitely have an episode where we swap names in the beginning and then never pointed it out the whole episode.
Oh, you're so right. We did do that.
I forgot which one it was, but one of our old episodes we did. Anyways, this is the Patient Players Podcast. You're listening to episode 57. This is the November the 9th episode of this fine podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. This is a podcast about video games, about gaming in the slow lane, which is what we like to call when we enjoy the games we have. We play them repeatedly. We play them when they are updated. We pick up games that are on sale or games that we miss the first time around and enjoy those. We're very rarely jumping on the newest, hottest bandwagons, as you will find. But other than that, that's our podcast. We're going to talk about games. We're going to talk about the deals of this week. And then we're going to end with the best part of the podcast, the question and answers section, where we're going to answer your questions, dear listener, live during our live recording, as well as any emails that you've sent in via our email address or Discord channel. We'll tell you more about how to send those in during the question and answer section of the podcast. But in the meantime, I'm dying to know, how has your week been, Jordan?
Are you not? Are you telling me that this isn't the Politics in the Slow Lane podcast?
No, that's the world. Though the results just got locked in. Did you see that?
Exactly, I did see that.
It just took like 4 days, 5 days.
It did. It was a very long election day.
It was like a 100-hour election day.
But we did it, and I've heard more about politics in the past week than I've wanted to hear in the past year, I guess I could say. But we
there's
made
been
it
a lot of politics for a long time.
I know, but not that I hear about.
You're pretty well insulated.
Insulated is a good word. Yeah. So apart from politics,
I'm sure you and every other person listening has had quite enough of the politics,
right? Which is why we're rebranding this podcast to Politics in the Slow Lane, because you can never have enough politics. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm leaving.
God,
goodbye.
Bless America.
Enjoy. I'm gone. Goodbye. There I go. Thank you for listening.
Oh man,
to this episode of the Patient Politics. No, wow. This is Patient Players. We're talking about video games.
Political Players.
No,
has a better ring to it.
There's enough of those out there. We don't need them here.
Oh, so tell me about your week.
Your week was that bad, huh?
It's been a lot of politics, man. Honestly, we were doing the pre-show, looking at notes, and my brain was just like, what happened this week that wasn't someone talking about politics at some point? I had to like dig through my mental calendar to find the games that I played.
Wow. Okay, I did play some games. I'll tell you, right after we recorded last week's episode, I actually had an experience I did not expect. With video games.
I did too. That's hilarious. Like, okay. Right after we recorded last week. But I thought you had plans. That's why
I
recorded like early last week.
Yes, the plans involved video games. I did not expect them to.
Okay.
So so I work with the like middle and high school students at my church. So we had like a fun day out at a local arcade / laser tag / bowling place. So we had a bunch of kids there and we were hanging out. And I was one of like five or six adults that were there hanging out with them. And we were at this arcade and I walked in. I've been to the arcade before, but it had been like a year or two. Obviously, with the pandemic, too, all of that stuff has just made all this even weirder. It's been even longer since I've been to any of these public areas. So I went in there and they changed up a lot of the arcade machines, right? I walk in and there's like the front desk where you buy tickets and everything. And then you buy like credits to play the games. And the very first machine they have, this astounded me, the very first machine they have is, well,
Fruit
the first
Ninja.
One you see, no,
oh.
Not Fruit Ninja, is Flappy a Bird. big open area that's like roped off, and there are four Vives
Oh, wow.
Dangling from, what? Like, those apparatuses where the cords go up and they, like, let you walk around in VR. It was this giant VR space for four people that you go in and you basically do, like, a four-person, you're all back-to-back shooting at, like, robots and stuff that are coming at you defending each other.
Whoa.
Like a last stand thing. And they were you would pay $5. It was $5 a person to go into this little VR thing. I didn't end up doing that because right behind that is a Beat Saber VR arcade machine.
No.
Yes, 100%. There was just
How does that work? Did it also have a Vive dangling there?
Yeah, there's this big, like, picture an arcade machine, right? So it's like a big box with a big screen, but the screen is like from floor to ceiling. It was probably like 8 feet tall, like this huge screen. And there's just a Vive dangling down with like the whole head clamp and everything. And then the controllers, because they have to keep them locked down or people will take them, right? They're also like wired up into this apparatus, these huge, dense controllers. They're not the normal Vive controllers. And because we're in the middle of a pandemic, they had like these face wipes next to it.
Nice,
and
nice.
It was the weirdest thing because the game told you to sanitize the headset. It was straight up like as soon as someone finished playing, it would be like doing the demo reel, right? Like, here's how Beat Saber works. It would just show some dude playing Beat Saber.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, I want to play. You swipe your game card. Also $5 to play, by the way. $5 wow. to play Beat Saber. So you swipe your card. I did play it. So you swipe your card. And it's like, oh, boom. The first thing it does is the screen just goes completely black and it just says, sanitize your headset. And there's like, you grab the wipes and it tells when you put your hand on it to wipe it. And it won't move on until you've wiped the headset all the
nice.
Way down.
Nice. Wow. And then it's like, I wonder how quickly they made back their money if it's $5 per game.
$5
like,
per
game.
Like,
how much is a Vive again?
A Vive, when it first came out, was pretty expensive. I think the Index, the new one, is like 1,000. So I think the Vive was like 600 or something.
Wow, crazy.
So you wipe down the headset and you put it on and it goes through like the little tutorial. And then you just are playing Beat Saber. And, you know, like most arcade stuff, the hardware gets super overused and abused. So like the clamp to tighten it was like unclamping on its own. It was super loose and that was annoying. But I tried it and I played it. And like, if you get too close to the screen, you know how there's like the Guardian system in the Oculus? It didn't have that. But what it had was just your entire vision just goes to this repeated tiling of the phrase, please move back, please move back, please move back. So that you wouldn't like punch the screen while you were playing.
I'm looking at a picture of it. It looks awesome.
It was pretty cool. If you're looking at a picture, if you look at Beat Saber VR Arcade, the sign on the top that says Beat Saber VR, mm-hmm. it's like a holographic projection. Like the words Beat Sabers are like rotating around with this holographic projection that looks super cool. Anyways, I paid $5 so that I could impress a bunch of high school students at how good I am at Beat Saber. And I think three or four of them also paid $5. And I was sitting there like, man, this feels bad. I think we spent like more money than buying the game Beat Saber costs to
That's
play Beat
crazy.
Saber.
Oh my word.
Like, I've thought about bringing my VR headset for the students to try it out before, but like the logistics of getting in, especially during a pandemic, of getting like 20 kids to try VR is like, that seems impossible to me. So I need to talk with the leader of the group and see like if there's any way we could do that. Because they loved the game. It would be super cool to allow them to play it without paying so much money. Because they thought it was fun. But yeah, I got the fifth highest score for the month. I got the highest score for the week.
Very nice.
That felt pretty darn good.
Now, the question on my mind is how much of butts did it look like when you've now adapted to HQ VR, high def plus plus max?
Well, it's Beat Saber, so like the visuals are just like colors, right? Like it's not super high fidelity no matter what. But what the worst thing was because that clamp wasn't tight enough, I couldn't get that sweet spot, you know? Like that VR sweet spot. Mm-hmm. So it was like a little bit blurry no matter what I did. Because as soon as I let go of the headset, it was like a little bit up on my face.
Mm-hmm.
So that felt bad. But I didn't know that was a thing. I don't know how I didn't expect that to become a thing. Like, of course it would, right? Like you go from old arcade games like your Street Fighters and your Time Crisis and your Pac-Mans, and then you go to like, okay, now they're all just mobile game ports.
Yes. Right?
Like,
yeah.
I did say I got the daily high score for the Flappy Bird knockoff, and I got like 800 tickets because I'm really good at Flappy Bird. But then, like, I didn't think that, like, of course, the next step in arcades is, like, VR headsets, because the whole point of arcades is they have hardware that you don't have at home. Mm-hmm. And, like, so many people don't ever, like, get a chance to do VR that would make sense. But it just didn't click that that's where it was going. They had a kayaking VR game.
Ooh.
Like, you know those arcade games where you, like, there's, like, a whole plastic, like, motorbike or kayak or whatever, and you get on and you're, like, using these big paddles? They had it just had a headset you put on. And I was like, that makes sense.
I wonder if that was also a real game, do you think?
I had never heard of it before. There is a VR kayaking game called Covert Ops or something like that. It's like a tactical kayaking game where you like shoot guns and stuff.
Okay.
But it was not that game. It was just like a racing game. So that was weird. I don't have a whole lot else to say other than I played Flappy Bird and shot basketballs at a hoop and like played with kids at arcade. But like VR was there, and that was a weird thing that I was really familiar with at like, oh, there's Beat Saber. It felt like when I was a kid, I had a Dance Dance machine at home, and I would play Dance Dance at arcades. Everyone would be like, whoa, you're so good at Dance Dance. But it was like, mm-hmm. I was playing Expert Plus Beat Saber, and everyone was freaking out about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it really is like the next generation of like Rock Band or Dance Dance, where it's a mm-hmm. game you can get at home, but not everyone does. And then when you can play it at an arcade place, man, I miss Rock Band so much. I still can't believe they like went under. I think they basically went under because like it wasn't like profitable anymore.
Harmonix is still a company. They're not really doing Rock Band stuff anymore. I have not thrown away all of my instruments. I still have
I haven't
them.
Either because it's like a relic now. It's like I can't get myself to sell my Rock Band guitars because they're not a thing anymore. And that's not an experience that you can't just get it just anywhere else. It's super fun too.
Yeah. That was kind of the thing that happened right after the recording was just, I was like, this is so weird that there's just these arcade VR machines that we can use now. What about you? What happened right after recording for you?
Not as exciting, but
okay.
I just played Minecraft. That's it. Because if you recall, a friend of the podcast, Judah, was in one of the Discord channels when we finished recording. So I dragged him in.
Right.
And you, me, and him talked for like a few minutes before you had to go. Yeah. Then you left, and it was just me and him, and he was already playing Minecraft. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, I'll join him, and I hopped in Minecraft. And I ended up playing Minecraft with him for the next, like, 2 to 3 hours. Because then a friend of the podcast, Keaton, joined. And then the Questionnaire of Brilliance joined. Like, without even knowing we were already on, people were just getting on the server just all at the same time. And we were
that
all
sounds
just,
so fun.
We were all just playing Minecraft. It was like that place in my heart, you know, that special place where it's like, we're just doing dumb things in mm-hmm. Minecraft. Judah kept killing himself on my body because my armor has thorns, so so he would just take all his stuff off and just start punching me while I'm just doing my own thing, and he's just running after me killing himself. And then we also did like trick-or-treating.
Okay,
we had a pumpkin party. I
because that was Halloween, right, when we actually recorded
it? Was I threw potatoes all over someone's house. It was fun. It was very Minecrafty things to do, where it's just like, we don't actually have a goal right now. We're just messing around.
So you didn't TP their house, you just peed their house.
Exactly. I think
Tater potatoes
potatoed their house. I think Keaton must have spent all 3 hours looking for a pair of wings in the end. And then he found some, and then he got lost and spent another couple hours trying to get out, and then he died and lost all his stuff, like the wings, a bunch of enchanted stuff. It was very sad. That's like the only thing he did the entire time, and then
he
died.
Incredibly sad.
Yeah, so it was a great Minecraft time.
Okay
But like, I was playing and I was like, this is not what I expected to do today, like just play Minecraft for hours upon end. It really took mm-hmm. me back to the old days.
As a reminder, if you're listening, we do have a way to hang out with people and play Minecraft through the Patient Players Discord channel. So over on patientplayers.com/discord, that gets you into the server, and there is a Minecraft channel. And there's even a way to sign up to be a part of the Patient Blocks group, where whenever someone's playing, like Jordan was talking about, you can at the Patient Blocks, and everyone who's interested in playing will get notified. So that's a good way to get some of those little groups going.
Yes, it is, Daniel. Yes, it is.
It is indeed.
Mm-hmm. All right, I wish you played Minecraft more.
I do some, and then it's the time, right? I think I explained this on your most recent server where I have a little house that I love. It's like quaint, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's not
People
impressive
are always
at all.
Like, whose house is that? And I'm like, that's Daniel's.
Yeah, it's
he
like
was
a
here
nice,
once.
It was a nice little house, and then it's like, I when I build my house, it is like a portion of the server. It's not a significant portion, but it's like a contribution. And then I leave, and I come back, and there are towns and kingdoms that have risen and fallen in my
around,
wake.
Around your house,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's like my house becomes like a scar on the earth in the middle of this like Mona Lisa masterpiece of Minecraft architecture. And I'm like, oh, the lot has happened, right? I'm like, don't worry, I have like a stable source of food and like some iron, and then you have like wings and a 3x enchanted perfect pickaxe.
Oh,
and I'm like,
yeah, no, dude, so the Nether update came out forever ago, so this last mm-hmm. Saturday was, I think it was Saturday, that day we played was basically the first time I got to interact with all the new content.
Okay.
So I spent most of my time actually looking for the new ore you can find to mm-hmm. upgrade your diamond stuff, which is...
Is it new ore or is it upgrade ore?
It's new ore. New ore okay. that you use to upgrade. So for the first time ever, when the update came out, you can have better armor than diamond. And I think it's only slightly better in terms of stats, but the best mm-hmm. part of it is that it floats in lava. So if you're a garbage player and you fall in lava, your stuff will still be there, just floating. All of your tools, if you upgrade them, all of your armor... You
That's
can
pretty
still,
cool.
It's awesome. And when you upgrade your tools and your armor, they don't lose all their previous enchantments. So all of my extremely overpowered armor, I could just, boop, upgrade to the next level without losing anything.
Sweet.
I loved it. I was very happy.
Cool. And meanwhile, like I said, I have like some iron and a little stone fortress.
You're going to log in and you probably have like an iron hat and like leather boots or something.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's my problem with Minecraft. It's not that I don't want to play. It's that I'm not really playing at that point. I'm kind of just like observing everything that everyone else has gotten to do while I've been offline.
It's like a reverse zoo where you're in the cage looking at everyone move on with their lives around you.
That is... more accurate than I want it to be. Wow. Well, so Minecraft adventures have been fun. I'm sure the Discord channel will be more active with that after this. Other than that, I have been away because
you did.
After...
You went to the magical land. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
I didn't get to officially tell you. Welcome back.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Jordan. I was in the Disney world. The world of Disney. Place, the kingdom of the mouse. Where he rules with an iron fist and tail. We had a joke the whole week. So there's like pandemic processes in place. So gotta wear a mask, and there's like all sorts of different sanitation rules, and they're limiting the park attendance and stuff like that at the Disney World theme parks. But they have strict rules about how you have to wear your mask and that kind of thing, and they say it all the time. So when you're in the parks, like every 20-30 minutes, there's like a little announcement. So it's like, this is how your mask has to be, and it has to cover these parts of your face, and you have to wear it at all times, and here's the only time you don't have to wear it for eating and drinking while you're stationary. Like, mm-hmm. blah blah blah. But towards the end of that whole thing, they're like, guests that do not comply will be asked to leave. And me just knowing how strict Disney is on a lot of stuff, I had a fun time every time they said that. When they said guests who do not comply, I would finish their sentence with "will be eliminated."
Shoot.
And that kind of became a running gag for the whole week. So like every 20, 30 minutes, we're just standing there and it's like, guests who do not comply will be eliminated. And
Oh my goodness.
It was a fun week, though.
I would
got to
believe
do a lot
it.
Of cool stuff.
You are so right. That is. Yep. That's Disney. Will never be heard from again, or their right. family.
Right, he will be fed to the mouse. No, but I got some good souvenirs. My favorite place at the Epcot theme park, where you have the World Showcase with the different countries. I love going to the Japanese store they have.
Yes, the objectively worst part of Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have plenty of really cool merchandise there, and like Japanese candies and stuff that get me excited. I have a new t-shirt that I'm representing. It's very on brand for me, the Snuggly Ninja. And let me introduce you, for those on the video archive or on the Twitch stream. Hold on. The newest member of the family. This is my little Shiba Inu plush named Bean.
Oh, is that what that's from?
Yes, and I love him very much. Bean is the best. But back to the audio podcast here. I didn't play very many video games, but there were two that I actually did play a whole lot of. Because there is plane travel involved to reach Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And you can bring a Nintendo Switch onto the plane.
Okay, so you didn't actually change your mind about the VR headset.
About bringing it? No, uh-huh. I did not.
I am still shocked. If there was a Daniel quiz, I would have failed that question. Does Daniel take his VR headset to Disney World? Yes. Yes, 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 what? Yes.
But
second question. If you answered no, does Daniel change his mind last minute about bringing it to Disney World? Yes, 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 yes. I am absolutely shocked that you actually didn't take it.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like, I'd have to either check it in a suitcase, in which case it's like this very nice, expensive VR headset going in a suitcase that I'm not going to be in charge of handling for a few hours. And, like, that's not... But also, at the same time, like, I'm not there to be in a headset. Like, I'm there with family and friends doing other... I thought about bringing it. I almost did. I thought it would be fun. But, also, we're in the middle of a podcast, Jordan. I don't know if you know this, but you should stop arguing about Disney World.
You're not supposed to be looking at the chat, Daniel. I don't know if you know this, but we're in a live podcast right
we
now.
We are in a live podcast.
Forget about the chat where I'm fighting your wife over Epcot being the boringest part of Disney World.
No, we're not going to have this. This is Patient Players Podcast, not a Disney podcast.
Good thing too, because I'm sure I just offended every single Disney fan. It seems like all the true Disney park fans think Epcot is just the most magical part, and I think it is the worst.
Epcot is the best for adults.
Okay, that explains it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or there are, maybe adults who don't travel the world, especially.
There aren't any little kid rides at, or really any thrill rides at Epcot. It's a place you go around and you spend like $100 on food of different kinds.
Like, why is that fun?
Because and also, I've
never actually been to the whole around the world circle thing. Apart from like I had to once to see like a fireworks show or a fountain show there. But I've never actually
saying,
let's tour the world.
You're saying you went to the park that has two rides and the World Showcase, and you didn't go to the World Showcase and you think it was boring. All right, cool.
Yes.
I'm glad that this... Okay, cool.
I did ride those two rides, though, many times, while everyone else my group went to the World Showcase.
So you actively didn't participate in the main part of the park and you think it was boring?
Exactly. No, I didn't participate.
All right, cool. I have no further arguments to make.
Oh, my word. Who cares about a World Showcase at Disney World? That is so dumb to me.
I bought Hades on the Switch and I played it on the plane. It's a good video game. I would like to talk about it. I did not play Hades at Epcot.
You did not play it while you didn't play it while you're walking around the boring around
the
world
section?
No, I
didn't. I played it on the plane. I think it was on sale on the Switch, so I did actually... I am incapable of buying full price games, it seems like that. But stop responding to the Twitch chat, Jordan.
It's not me. It's someone else. Someone stole my phone.
Listen to me talk about video games. That's why we're here.
I'm listening to you talk about Hades, and I also bought it. Did I tell you that?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that. When did you buy it? This week?
I think last week. I thought I bought it. I must have bought it right after the podcast. But when you mentioned it was on sale, maybe I bought it during the podcast and just didn't mention it. But when I saw it was on sale, I was like, yeah, I heard this game is great, so I'll buy it for Switch.
Have you played it?
Mm-mm.
It's so good. Hades is great.
I've heard it. So I've not heard a single bad thing about Hades.
I know. Everyone's been gushing about it, but let me add my gush to the existing torrential gush about Hades.
Mm-hmm.
Hades is a good video game, man. It's fun.
Okay. Yeah.
It's stupid hard, and I hate it, but it's fun, and I love it.
Nice. Okay. Say no more.
I mean, the thing that I keep hearing everyone rave about is it's like, not only is it a super fun game to play, like a lot of really good roguelike games have come out and are very fun to play, but this one in particular, the story is interesting. The way they tell the story works super duper 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 well with a run-based game.
Wow, nice.
The art's beautiful. I love all of the characters. Dusa, the Gorgon, is the best character. But anyways, super duper fun. And trying to think if I have anything to add to it. If you have heard anything about Hades, dear listener, you probably know that people really like it. It's good. It's good on Switch. I haven't regretted getting it on Switch at all. Like, it looks great. It runs fine. Being able to pause in the middle of a run by just sleeping the device is amazing.
Just like Dark Souls.
Yeah, honestly, it's like secretly the best feature of the Switch ever. Like, the sleep function, I almost think, is more important in some ways than the portability. Like,
wow.
Like, being able to play it for 10 minutes and just sleep it no matter what game I'm playing, no matter what's going on, unless I'm playing an online game, then it's just like, and I can just come back and pick it up. That's amazing. Like, if I had computer games that I could do that with, it would improve them immensely. Hades is super good. Trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, you haven't played it, so I can't, like, talk to you about stuff in the game and, like, cool combos I've found and stuff like that. Do you have any questions about Hades?
No. Not really. Okay. No.
You should play it. It's good.
Just that I think it's crazy that I got a game based off of just everyone saying it was so good. I don't even know what the gameplay is like, honestly. I don't think I've even seen a single gameplay trailer. I just know I love roguelikes and that it's a great game. So I was like, okay, it's on sale. I'll get it.
One thing I'll add, and I think I've heard some other people say the same thing, but this was just so impressive to me. So I've played it, I don't even know at this point. I'd probably say I'm over 10 runs or attempts at the game, maybe closer to 15. I don't know. But I don't think I've heard a single repeated line of dialogue.
Whoa. That's
which is
cool.
Crazy. Yeah, like, everything is unique. And they do the little stuff that people talk about where it's like there'll be references to previous runs, right? Like, you kill, like, let's say you get killed by this certain enemy. It's like the next time you get there and you kill one of those enemies, you're like, that's for last time. And you're like, oh yeah, because that guy killed me last time.
Nice.
And, like, that stuff is everywhere. And that stuff is super neat. Like, you'll die and then you'll come back to the hub world after dying and they'll be like, oh, this thing killed you, right? Or if you pick up, like, a bonus from one of the gods and then, like, they notice you're at low health, they'll be like, you don't look so good. And like, those little touches are nice, but even the way that, like, if you do the same thing four times, like, they'll say different interesting things every time. It's so cool. It's super duper cool.
Sweet. So that was one of the games you played on the plane, I assume.
Yes.
You mentioned the second one?
So there's another game I played this week, but on the plane specifically, at your recommendation, I did pick up Part-Time UFO.
Yes.
So I played a lot of huddled, you know, two people squashed together on plane chairs, huddled around a little switch on the tray table. Me and Marion played a bunch of Part-Time UFO.
Did you love it?
I did love it. That game is very high quality fun. It is
so
goofy.
Good.
And the amount of times it was like, we have 10 seconds left and we're panicking, and then one of us just screws it up so bad that we just, whatever we're holding, we just wrecking ball the whole tower and laugh. And just kind of want to cry, but we laugh anyways, and we try it again.
It's a great stress test for marriages, you know. See how much you can put up with your spouse when they just ruin all of your hard work. Are you able to look at them with love still and be like, I still love you, but I don't like you right now, you know?
Or that doesn't happen, you know? Either one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Boy, that is fun. I think it's weird that the skins do affect the game, though. Like, you can get different costumes. I, of course, immediately picked up the ninja costume, only to find out after I bought it that it makes you insanely fast and hard to control.
Yeah.
I used that for most of the game. There were several incidents of, like, smashing into the tower on accident because I was a very fast little ninja UFO. The stacking physics are uncannily realistic. Like, I loved that about being able to, like, flip them around or bump them without using your claw or, like...
Yeah, yeah.
It was super weird at how good that felt. Also, the toy chest level, the second toy chest level, is the devil, and I hate it. And
the second
one removed from the game.
Being, like, the harder version of the first one or the actual second one?
The actual second one.
Okay.
It is...
Is that with the plushies?
It's with the Kirby plushies, yes.
Yes! Wow! I know. Yes, absolutely.
It's the worst. It's
crazy.
Absolutely the worst.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I have to say about Part-Time UFO.
Did you?
Was it $9?
I think $8.
Okay.
Maybe $7.99, I think, was the official price.
I have not played it alone at all, have you?
Yeah, I have.
Is it good still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think it's fun. It's a good challenge to get all of the like level mission achievements thing, okay. Because you get like a special star if you get all three at one time. So the real goal is to get all of them in one go.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And we've certainly been doing that.
I think it's great.
Everyone except that toy level, we got all three on both the easy and the hard mode all in one go.
Nice.
I don't know if I'd want to play it not co-op. I don't know if it's like compelling enough. I feel like it's just stacking stuff. It feels like playing like an old internet flash game that's like really well made.
Yeah.
But
that's fair.
Co-op, it's super fun.
There's like an endless mode. It has also that's like impossible for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I played it two-player. It's the one that's on, like, the second or third chapter you unlock, like, mm-hmm. stack the tower as high as you can, right? We tried that one for, like, an hour, or it felt like an hour. It was probably not that long, but that seemed very, very difficult. Okay, so it gives you, like, random shapes to stack, right? The orange plumbus-looking guitar thing is the devil. It's the worst.
Yeah.
There's no way it fits anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know how you're supposed to get to, I think like 50 meters is the final achievement you can get. I didn't get any of them. I tried a bunch of times and I was like, I actually don't think I can do this. This is really difficult.
Yeah, the rest of the game is like, don't hear us talk about this and think that this game is like hyper difficult. It's actually pretty fun and easy and chill, but like for some reason there's like one or two levels where it's like, this is a madness. How do they expect you to stack this?
Yeah, it's cool it came from being a mobile game,
yeah.
It's such a high quality mobile game for what it was.
Yeah. Now on the talk of high quality mobile games, the other thing I played a whole bunch at Disney was I did make sure to get my daily Genshin Impact in.
Oh,
every morning. I had my phone with me. I didn't bring any sort of computer, so the only way I could play Genshin was on my phone. But I still logged in every day, collected all my little daily rewards, did my daily quests, opened some loot boxes. That was fun. Still making progress in that game. I haven't had a good sit-down moment to like progress the story, and I hope to do that this weekend a little bit. But that was fun. It worked great. The cool thing is you don't need like great internet, because you just need an internet connection to connect to the servers and to play the game, but you're not like playing online with other people unless you choose to do that. Mm-hmm. So it still felt like I was playing a local game on my phone. I just couldn't play it on the plane. I could only play it while I was within, you know, cell internet. But it worked great. I have officially used up my 1 month of my subscription of that currency. So earlier this afternoon, I purchased a second month of currency because I wanted to continue playing that game. And within the next 4 or 5 days, I need to decide if I'm going to purchase the premium tier of the battle pass, because that is about to run out.
Oh.
For this first month or two that I've been playing the game. And because I've been earning levels in the battle pass on the free tier, if I purchase the premium one, I will immediately unlock all of the premium rewards, which are significant. There are a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
But it is $10, so I don't know if I want to do that.
Does it have like an XP boost along the line of those rewards?
What do you mean an XP boost? Like my characters will be getting XP faster?
Yeah, or like the battle pass would have leveled up faster if you had bought it at the beginning.
No, so you...
Oh, that's good.
You can complete the challenges to get XP for the battle pass. You can purchase the premium tier. You can spend the premium currency on levels.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you buy the premium tier, at that point, you can choose to pay $20 and you will get 10 levels along with your purchase.
Okay.
And every level is the same amount of XP. They're all 1,000 XP. So buying 10 levels early is just the same as buying 10 levels later.
Oh, nice.
And there's 50...
That's nice. I like that.
There's 50 total levels and I'm sitting at like 34. Hmm. So I don't think I'm going to spend the $20 because I don't... Even if I purchase the premium tier with the plus 10, that would get me to like level 44, 45 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough time in the battle pass to get me all the way to 50. And at 50, you actually earn back about $10 worth of premium currency.
Oh, nice.
But... I don't think that's going to be worth it to me for me to spend the $10 to get that.
Right.
So I think I'm right now, I'm looking at just buying the upgrade because I will get an immediate huge dump of the three things it gives you is like the money you need to do everything in the game, the character experience points, and the weapon experience points. So those are the three things it gives you a whole lot of. So that's Genshin. Still really fun. I hope you talk about it more.
Neato Bandito. I picked up a new mobile game this week, actually.
Okay.
Because thanks to good old Apple ecosystem, the bundle, Apple One, which released.
What?
So Apple released the Omega bundle where you pay for it, you get all of their services at a little bit cheaper.
Honestly, I didn't know about that. What is it? So what are services? Is it like music and games and storage?
Music,
and
arcade, TV, iCloud space. At higher tiers, you get the news. You get their new fitness program.
Is the news not free?
News Plus. You get News Plus.
Oh.
Which is like actual like news sites that you have to pay for usually online that are just included in that.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah. So I've been like looking for people to join my family plan to make it cheaper. And I found one. It was a lot harder actually to find people. I thought a lot of people would be more willing, but I've only found one person. But it helped the price a lot go down. Uh-huh. So I've subscribed to that now, which means I'm back being an Apple Arcade subscriber. So
fun.
I thought I would try out a few of the games. And I tried out Crossy Road Castle.
Oh, okay.
Yep, which is nothing like Crossy Road at all. It's a 2D platformer up to four players.
Multiplayer? What?
Yeah, multiplayer, like co-op, not versus.
Okay.
Where you just platforming through levels in a endless tower game.
Does it look like Crossy Road?
No, it's just like voxel based, I think, is the only similarities where the characters are QB.
Okay.
Yeah. Same developer, obviously, but I've been playing that. It's fun. It's nice. There's no microtransactions.
Because it's Apple Arcade, right?
Because it's arcade, yeah.
Cool. That's very interesting.
Yeah, and controller support, which is cool.
I was looking up something. Do you remember that really old Flash game, Robot Unicorn Attack?
Yes.
That came up this week while I was talking with someone on the
trip.
And I went to look up if the app was still available, and it is not on the App Store. I imagine it probably did not get updated at some point in the past. So there is no Robot Unicorn Attack on the iPhone
always
App Store.
I want to be with you.
And make believe with you, I know.
And live in harmony.
But I was searching through the results, and like the 10th result when you look up Robot Unicorn Attack is some like by the Crossy Roads people. It's like an airplane shooting game. I don't even remember what it was called, but it's just weird that you were talking about Crossy Road, because I literally was just looking at this other game that they made, and it was not the one you mentioned. It was a totally different one.
Now I'm looking at Unicorn Games. Unicorn Slime? Crossy Road is just a result. You can purchase a unihorse for Crossy Road as a character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't see any other ones by them, but that's interesting.
Yep. I did forget to mention something. Those were all the games I played this week. Genshin, my Switch games, and some of the stuff at that arcade. I was going to mention at the arcade. So we went there on Halloween, right? So I have a Halloween costume from a few years back that I wore, which is the Team Rocket Grunt from Pokemon Red and Blue.
Oh, very nice.
You know, the classic video game character.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, as you can see on my wall, if you're watching the video, I have like some Pokemon stuffed toys that I like take with me when I wear that outfit to be like, oh, I stole these Pokemon. Ha ha ha. I'm Team Rocket. But I showed up and I had like a Squirtle and a Meowth plush at this arcade the whole time. And I was in this whole getup with like the hat and this shirt with the big red R on it and all this stuff. And then I found out that they had a costume contest at this arcade because it was Halloween.
Oh,
I was like,
nice.
And the manager was like, hey, do you want to be in the costume contest? I was like, sure. And I had like 10 minutes and I was like, oh man, I went into the little ticket shop and there was definitely a giant stuffed Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I need that Pikachu for this costume. And I found out that by winning the Flappy Bird machine, I was like 710 tickets and I needed 725 to get the Pikachu.
Oh my goodness.
So I went out and I paid like $5 more in arcade tokens to go play more Flappy Bird. and I got even more tickets, and I bought this giant plush Pikachu, and so I entered into the contest, and I had like this giant, it's like this big, I had like a handheld sized Pikachu, and I ended up winning most creative costume, which gave me one free Laser Quest game a week for an entire year.
Whoa. That's
for you and
awesome.
Another person. Yeah. There you go.
Most did you use it that day, or?
Well, I already had, because I was at this event with the students. We already had free Laser Quest that day.
Oh, okay.
But
wow, wait, for you and one person. So
yeah,
I guess they don't expect anyone to like show up with someone else, go in, play laser tag, and then just leave. Like that's it. That was our weekly laser tag.
Right. I'm gonna drive all the way there to do a 20 minute Laser Quest game. Right.
Uh huh. That's smart of them, I guess.
It's a good tactic. Yep. Yep.
Very nice.
So that was kind of my week in video games. Did you have anything else?
Yeah. Well, while you were away at Disney, sadly, I played some Overwatch on, I think, Monday night. Or was it Tuesday? I think it was Monday night, because the Halloween event ended on Monday.
Okay.
And I forgot about it, and so I hadn't played it, and I wanted that third free costume.
Oh yeah, so you get nine wins.
Yeah, so I was getting ready for bed at 1 a.m. and I was like, "Oh no, I didn't get that free costume."
Oh,
so I get on,
no.
And it's still live, like at 1 a.m. And I'm like, "Okay, I guess I'm about to play like eight games and win them all." And so I did. It was
did
quite
you,
the grind.
Did you take the guaranteed win on the PvE, or
yes,
did you do like? Oh okay.
No, I did. Yeah.
There's definitely been nights when we used to play Overwatch weekly where it was like, we just got to get these nine arcade wins, and it would take us like 3 days of playing.
Yeah.
I hate that system. That's but like the worst system.
It helped a lot that there were the versions with modifiers built in to add some just some changes into
variety.
The mix. I loved the one where it just randomly changes your character every minute or so. That one is really fun, actually, for playing it over and over again, because you're getting all these characters that you wouldn't normally choose.
Right.
But more importantly, it's been so long since I've done this, but they had a hard achievement to get. And so most of the night, I actually spent trying to get that super hard achievement where... and it makes me so sad that you were out of town, because I was like, I just wish I could invite some friends who are good at Overwatch to do this with me, because it was really, really hard.
Uh-huh.
Where... all of the this is the Halloween event, Drunkenstein's Revenge, where all of the big guys that like shoot at you from afar,
yeah,
I think they seem to spawn like twice as often, and every time they died they spawned a riptire that
goes straight
for the door. So, and also the bosses spawn two on death, so if you kill one next to the door, there goes like half of the health of the door, because they do so much damage. Yeah, trying to find three randos who had a good enough aim to destroy tire after tire after tire.
It took... friend of the podcast Kyle to come in here and just snipe those.
Yeah. It took maybe like an hour and 10 minutes, I think, for me to finally do it.
And is that still all at 1 a.m?
Yes, it was. It totally was. It was so weird. And then I did it, and it felt real good, because it was difficult and it was fun to play. Overwatch difficult level again.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed out on it. Oh, well.
That about sums up my week, though.
Cool. Well, and I think that's been plenty. I mean, we've been talking for ages at this point. Let's jump over to the gaming deals for the week. This week, there's not going to be too much to talk about. The middle of the month weeks are always a little sparse. If you're interested in our takes on some of the PlayStation Plus or Xbox Game for Gold for this month, that's on last week's episode, which was the beginning of the month. But as a reminder, Origami is out there for another week or so until the 15th of November. That's that stealth game.
On what?
Sanity on Xbox One for Games for Gold. And then Swim Sanity for the rest of the month. And then you can pick up the older Xbox 360 or original Xbox games, Lego Indiana Jones and Full Spectrum Warriors. Then for PlayStation Plus, we said that for PS5, which is launching like now at some point.
I think 4 days is the launch day.
I'm super not following the new consoles as much as I should be, because I'm a patient player and I'm not going to buy them first early adopter. But Bugsnax for PS5, it will be free. PlayStation Plus members If you have PS4, you can buy that game instead of getting it for free. And then Hollow Knight Special Edition and Middle-Earth Shadow of War are your free PS4 games for PS Plus, which are awesome kick-butt games. And they are also launching that PS Plus collection, which is a little bit like your Xbox Game Pass, like a subscription vault of games that you don't own, but you have. Then for the new stuff for this week, we have the new weekly Epic free game, which is continuing on. Which, now that we're getting towards the end of the year, I realized they only confirmed they were going to keep this service through 2020, mm-hmm. which makes me really scared for 2021. I hope they keep it up.
I hope they keep giving us free stuff for no reason whatsoever. That'd be great.
It's been great. Honestly, you know, my library is so big on Epic, and I don't...
Yes.
I haven't paid for very many games.
Same. Very nice.
Dungeons 3 is currently free. I went ahead and picked it up. So this game, I own Dungeons 2 on Steam, and from what I never really played more than like 30 minutes of it, but from what I could tell, it was very much like the game I describe, Evil Genius, like a base building simulator where you are building an evil base with traps and evil monsters, and then heroes try to permeate your base to attack you, and your base defenses have to stop them.
Dude, that sounds awesome.
I remember not enjoying Dungeons 2 when I played through the tutorial. It seemed kind of bad.
Okay.
I can't give you an opinion on Dungeons 3. I haven't played it, but I did claim it, and I might check it out. I'll have to go check out some reviews for it. What's this upcoming game? I didn't get a good look at it. Can you tell me about next week's game?
Oh, you must be talking about The Texorcist, Daniel.
Texorcist?
Well, uh-huh. Get ready for an electrifying mix between bullet hell and typing.
Okay.
Dodge bullets while typing exorcisms. Turn on both sides of your brain and jump into the adventure of Ray Bibia, a private exorcist who's going to face the threats of a demonic.
Are you trying to say the word demonic?
I am trying to say the word demonic.
Well, demonic has tough mnemonics, so that's
demonic outbreak. So it looks, yeah, it's like an 8-bit, maybe not 8-bit, maybe like 16-bit typing game. That's hilarious.
Okay, well, get your type on next week. Starting November the 12th through the 19th. That's The Texorcist.
It looks a lot like Into the Gungeon, gameplay-wise.
I was going to say, so it's like Into the Gungeon, but with typing.
Yeah, instead of shooting, you're just typing words.
Crazy. So, I guess, would you use your mouse to move around or your arrow keys?
I was just thinking that. If you're typing with two hands, you're still needing to move around. Or maybe as you type the right word, you're moving out of the way automatically.
That sounds... I'm like curious, but maybe we'll check it out this week and come back to it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Then I do like calling out when games get added to the PC Game Pass. I still think that's one of the best deals out there for gaming. And even more so this week, they added Celeste, which if you didn't pick that up for free on the Epic Store over Christmas last year, like, go play it on Game Pass. That game is amazing. I love it. Marianne's playing it on Switch. She's almost done. She's on the last level. And I beat that earlier this year. Great game. Now free with Game Pass. There's another one I saw. I've heard of this game, and I never really looked into it too closely, called Deep Rock Galactic. And it looked like a group online survival game. But it's like a space mining theme. So you're like a bunch of dwarves mining in space. It looked very much like the type of hooligan Minecraft adventures that you and I enjoy.
Oh, and interesting.
It looked dangerously good. Like, maybe I would sink too much time into this kind of game if I downloaded it. But that's on PC Game Pass.
Very nice.
Anything else on the... I know you had some stuff for the Game Pass deals that were standing out to you, right?
Yeah, so thanks to Game Pass Ultimate, which mm-hmm. is their $15 a month bundle, which includes EA Play, or it's going to include EA Play on, I think,
at
on Tuesday.
Point.
Yeah, okay. So this Tuesday, it's going to include EA Play games, which yes. They're also adding on this Tuesday, Jedi Knight Fallen Order. So,
that's right.
Which is a wonderful game. So
that's
if
a
you don't have
game.
That, and if you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you can play Fallen Order thanks to the EA Play inclusion in that bundle.
The DLC is not included, though?
There's DLC?
There is DLC.
What?
There's at least one DLC. Isn't there like a battle arena?
Oh, I think that was just an update. Pretty sure that was a free update.
I'm also pretty sure there is DLC out there, though, right? Fallen Order. I'm going to look it up.
I would love it. Well, maybe not the Battle Arena thing, but I would love if they made a DLC for that game. I say that. I actually haven't beaten the game. I got pretty far into it.
I forgot about that. The ending of that game is incredible. I wanted to talk with you about it so bad when it happened, and then you still haven't done it.
I don't remember why. I just stopped. But
the last level is great. The last level is so fun.
Yeah, man, it's going to be hard for me to get back in there and like halfway through the game with all the abilities unlocked that I'm totally going to forget how to use.
That game has been on my mind a lot because I have been in a realm of magical Star Wars for the last week. A lot of Star Wars things going on at the Disney World. And I was walking through one of the lines where everything's decorated like Star Wars. I was like, Jedi Fallen Order was a good game. I was thinking about that.
Nice.
There's one point where like there was an alien that was singing, and it was singing some alien language. It reminded me of that opening song that those the band called The Who does, where it's like their Mongolian throat singing, but it's like in an alien language.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I was like, Jedi Fallen Order was a good game.
Do you watch Mandalorian?
I have seen the first, I think, 3 episodes. Oh, wow. I plan on watching the rest eventually.
Okay. Season 2 started this week, or last week.
So I've heard, yes.
It is very good.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we'll have to look into that at some point.
Yes, indeed.
For our deals, I think that's going to do it for the main stuff. We do have one more monthly thing to talk about. That's the Humble Bundle, which was not available last week, but the November Humble Bundle choice options have been revealed. How does this look, Jordan? What is your first impression of the November Humble Monthly Bundle?
Nope, I already paused it. Already passed.
Did not live up to your expectations this time around?
No. However, big titles such as Darksiders 3 and Yakuza Kiwami 2, right?
Yeah.
Those are big name things.
Yeah, Yakuza Kiwami 2, yep.
Just not ones that I care about, so it's nice that they're on there.
I really liked Darksiders 1. I always wish I had gone back and beat it, and they have a remastered version. Maybe I'll do that again at some point. Darksiders 1 was a very good game. I don't know much about 2 or 3.
Hmm.
Have you ever played any of the Darksiders games?
Nope.
Do you know what they're like?
Nope.
Oh. They're basically like really good Zelda games.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's an action RPG, but then you have like cool items you're unlocking that like very Zelda, like you go into a dungeon, you get an item, that item helps you in the dungeon solve puzzles and do challenges and stuff like that.
I don't think I really like Zelda games.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't appreciate the beauty that is Breath of the Wild, so like if you can't get that, why start with any Zelda game?
I can appreciate 120 hours of it.
Well, appreciate is one thing, but obviously the impression you came away from it is wrong, so...
Oh, you mean walking simulator?
Yeah, uh-huh. Obviously you weren't gliding enough. It's really a gliding simulator, Jordan.
Maybe that's why.
Any other deals you want to call out? I think that's it for me.
That's it, yeah.
Okay. Well, you've made it, listener, to the best part of the podcast. This is the question and answers section of the podcast. Here is where we're going to answer your questions either live through the Twitch chat or via our email or Discord. You can send those questions. Think of a question right now. Bring it in your head. Bring the forefront of your mind, the frontal lobe. Envision it. Email it to patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Again, I'll say it slowly. patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to receive that email and talk about it here. You can also go to patientplayers.com/Discord to join our Discord server, hang out with us throughout the week, and send us questions in the podcast questions channel. In the meantime, we have a couple questions to go through via that email. Will you take us away, Jordan, with the first email?
Yes, sir, Mr. Daniel Podcast. Our first email writes, Dear Patient Players, because I love Among Us so much, I have two Among Us related questions for y'all.
Ooh, do say.
Number one, what is your favorite pet or hat in the game?
Oof.
And number two, do you like playing the normal way or hide and seek better? And this comes from writer of the podcast, Miranda.
Thank you, Miranda. Wonderful questions, as always. These are tough. The hat one is so tough. So, like, the hat or pet. I love all of the jokes and memes with the mini crewmate. Like, it's so hard to beat the mini crewmate. I don't think they're my favorite, though. They're just little mini crewmates.
I'm going to need to see a list. It said hat or pet. That's...
There's a lot of both of those. I think that I love the little slime pet, and I can't... I just have a little gooey slime pet, and I think he has more personality than a mini crewmate. That's the one I'm going to pick.
Mm-hmm. He does look very, very sad when you die.
With this little one eye down.
Uh-huh. Like, the crewmate, it just sits there, you know? But the the slime has like a face, and so you can see that he's like visibly depressed.
He's like a tiny like fledgling Mike Wazowski, just crying.
Oh, I'm looking at the pets again. I don't really like any of the pets.
Well, then pick a hat. What's your favorite
hat?
When
I use a pet, I use the robot just because it looks like Wally. But my favorite hat is definitely the eyebrows, because it's not really a hat at all, but it still gives it some personality. And also, I've been known for my eyebrow usage.
That is true. Can confirm you have very popular eyebrows.
So I like to have that as a reflection of my personality in the game.
Yes, and I think it does play off as the Jordan look when you wear it.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure I know why Miranda of the podcast is writing, because Miranda of the podcast is also girlfriend of the podcast.
What?
But with me being the podcast. But so I bought her the mini crewmate bundle this week, and she has been loving it very much. I think every day since I've gotten it for her, she's told me how incredibly sad it is when you die and the crewmate just sits there. It's never, I love this so much. It's always, I'm so sad when I die. He just sits there, the poor little thing. Like, her heart just breaks for the mini crewmate. It got to the point
over
where I was like,
over and over,
should I not have gotten this for you? Like, it feels like you're more sad now that you have it, because you're always telling me how sad you are when you're dead. And she'll like talk to other players. She said they'll have like gatherings around her mini crewmate and be like, look how sad my baby is. And they're like, oh, I know, he's so sad. So I'm assuming that's why this question has come up, because she has been loving her mini crewmate pet.
I think it just gives me more motivation to kill her in every round that we play.
Shoot. Dang,
just because I know how heart-wrenching it will be to see her little mini crewmate
and just do a little dance around it every single time.
Oh my gosh. Goodness. what are you dancing in the corner for, Daniel? Oh, no reason. Don't worry about it.
Because you know she's there watching.
I know it's there, right? Yep. All right. So the hide-and-seek mode, we brought that up a few weeks ago. That's like where you don't play it subtly and try to deceive people, but you just run around killing them while they're trying to escape, and you have like very low vision. I feel like it's not a matter of which one I like more. I feel like that hide-and-seek is so much better when you only have like five or six people, and that the regular mode is after like the first few rounds where people start understanding how it works, it's almost impossible to play that as the imposter unless you have like 8 to 10 people. It's also, I find it less fun with just one imposter. So I think hide and seek is much better.
That's
with
fair.
A low player count. That's my opinion.
That's fair. I like the normal game better, honestly. I did not have very much fun playing hide and seek.
Oh no.
Yeah, like it's very opposite mode, where it's like when I am the imposter or normal mode, I get excited. When I'm in the hide and seek imposter, I get like bummed. Like, oh great,
oh,
it's
really?
Me. Yeah, so it goes from there's a chance of having a great time too, there's a chance of me having a terrible time.
But the crewmate's not as fun for you either way.
I like the crewmate more in the hide and seek one, because it's basically, it's so easy to just hide in a corner and they'll like walk past you,
right?
Like, oh sweet, I did it.
Just so does that mean you have vision. A higher percentage chance of having a good time in hide and seek?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But I think the joy of becoming the imposter or normal would outweighs the average joy.
The emotional, you know, high of murdering all of your friends deceptively.
Exactly. Like, here's like the average joy of the normal mode, and here's like the other one where it spikes every so often. So the average is just a little bit higher.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that breakdown. That was very thorough. Thank
you. Especially with the other one going like this every so often.
Right.
Because of, I don't like, it's just, when you're in the imposter at hide and seek, it's just walking around, just like looking for people. Next
right.
room.
Well, but it's like a different strategy, right? Instead of like deceiving people, you're having to like predict where they're going to be. And like,
not in my experience, it's literally just room check simulator. And when you walk in a room, check all the corners, because they could easily just be standing in a corner. Mash the kill button as much as possible, because if they just run past you and you miss it, then it's too late.
Right, right, right.
So when you walk in a room, just kill, 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 kill.
So that's going to bring us to our last email before we get to our Discord questions. It says, this is from regular writer of the podcast, Kay, though it has been a while since we've heard from Kay. He's been sending messages, very cryptic messages, through a number of third parties, but I believe this one comes straight from the man himself. And he says, dearest Pleepers, it has been a while, but it is I, Kay. Forgive me if I must be brief, but being the king of the abyss and all is keeping me quite busy. So how have you been? For me, it's been pretty good. The wife and kids keep me pretty busy. Did I mention I have kids now? It turns out that demonic pregnancies are pretty quick. Also, the man is the one that gets pregnant. Anyways, on today's question.
Demons are seahorses, confirmed.
Or are seahorses demons? Dun, dun, dun. With the new console generation coming out, I've often asked this question on my mind. What would my best theoretical console be? What company or companies would make it? What are the specs or extra features? Would there be any gimmicks like Nintendo has in their consoles? Or would I keep it a mostly pure classic console experience like with Sony and Microsoft? That's all for me now. Got to get back to work. You know how it is with jobs and such. Love, but only platonically because I am a taken man. Okay.
I love this question. This question makes me very excited because it's a subject I'm very passionate about.
Okay. Share your passion with us, Jordan.
That passion is... Ugh. Here comes the passion.
Here comes the passion, folks.
If consoles had built-in keyboard and mouse support, they would be perfect. I would never, for ever a second, consider being a PC gamer if consoles had keyboard and mouse support. That's my passion. Like, not having to deal with all the stupid OS updates,
not
things just randomly breaking all the time. I'm looking at these next-gen consoles, and I think they look phenomenal if you aren't already a PC gamer, especially for their price. Because, you know, like, I already have all that stuff, and it's very nice, but it comes with the downside of being on a computer that breaks all the time, and I had to spend hours troubleshooting and resetting stuff. That just isn't part of the console experience. And if I had a console that just let me use the superior form of aiming and playing most games, not all games, then I would never look back.
Not on board with you, my friend. Not on board. Also, you do know that they have third-party peripherals that you can plug a keyboard in.
And they work terribly. I owned one about 4 years ago, and it was terrible.
Really?
I also spent hours setting it up to be as close as possible, and it was still it was not the same.
Okay. I don't know though. So like I disagree with a lot of what you said.
I don't understand why, so I'm looking forward to you telling me why. I don't have any idea why you would disagree.
Well, because what makes the PC fun and the reason I use it a lot over a console is not just the control scheme. It's everything else around it. Like, you have every program and game available to you from different parties, right? Like, you're not subscribed to... It's not walled off to the company who manufactures, right? Like, you don't have to pay for PlayStation Plus or Xbox or whatever because you could never get away with that on PC, right? Because, like, I can just go download a Steam game and play It's Online. You have competing marketplaces like Steam and Steam Sales and Humble and all these things. You have a plethora of indie games that aren't having to be programmed and certified and pass inspection on all these places. There's like weird stuff that's like a tech demo. You know, I can sideload an Attack on Titan game onto my VR headset. I can go to the Skyrim mod website and install, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine as a dragon and like... They have mods and stuff for consoles, but those are all moderated through the companies, and there's stuff you can't get away with.
Yeah.
Like, I just love the fast and loose Wild West nature of the PC sometimes. Like, there's so much random stuff on the PC that you could never do with mods.
That makes so much sense coming from you, but like for me, I'm such a vanilla gamer. Everything needs to be out of the box the way it was intended to be out of the box. And if that changes, I feel like I'm not getting the actual experience that was made for it.
And I usually start that way, but I certainly don't stay that way. Like, one of my favorite things is that there are entire wikis dedicated to, like, PC gaming of how do I go in and turn on or off certain settings, right? Like there's a wiki page that will tell me, how do I remove the 3-second logo that loads every time I play this game?
Mm-hmm.
And you can go like, oh, just delete this file, right? Like I can't go into my Sony PlayStation and delete the movie that plays at the beginning of Borderlands that is super loud and annoying every time you launch the game. Mm-hmm. But like, because I play on PC, I have full master control over everything that runs on my computer. And I can go in and say, like, no, I do not want this movie to play. I'm going to physically delete it off my hard drive. And there you go.
Hmm. But consoles. So what is your best theoretical console then?
That's what I'm getting to. I think I have not really played much on modern consoles. And I don't plan on picking up a new one very soon because I like the PC so much. So I think a perfect console, in my opinion, would be one that has the ease of use of a console, like a Switch, right? Like, take a Switch as a base model. It's like, you buy it, you boot it up, you can play games, and it's portable. You know, like, it has enough power to run everything it's going to run on its own, right? And it can have funky controllers that a PC would never have that you can pull off the console and share. It has Wi-Fi, it has Bluetooth, right? Like, just basically take, like, a Super
it,
Switch.
It has Bluetooth. What is that? You're talking about the Switch here. Like, I don't...
Right.
I think take you, like you can super, end it with that. A Switch with Bluetooth.
Like a Super Switch. Take like a Super Switch. And then what I'd love to add to it is the modular architecture of a PC, where it's like, okay, the Switch video card 3.0 just came out. I'm going to slap it in my Switch and boom, I can play all my same Switch games, but now they're like uber powerful. Right, like the thing I like about a PC is that I can upgrade it when I want to, and I don't have to go spend $1,000 to build a new PC every 4 or 5 years. I can spend like $300 to buy a new video card when they come out every couple of years, and then when it's time to upgrade the processor, I upgrade that. When I run out of hard drive space, I buy a new one. Like the customizable nature of the PC is its power, in my opinion. And so to take a game console and add that to it, what you would lose is the ease of use for people who hate that stuff. So, like, that's never going to fly in an actual market. So, no one's ever going to make that because you lose what people like about consoles. But yeah, I don't really care about that stuff. I like it being customizable and modular. And I think instead what we're getting are these varying prices and power. Like, Xbox Series S versus Xbox Series X. Mm-hmm. And then whenever, like, the S Pro and X Pro come out and make this even more confusing, which I'm sure will happen in, like, 3 years. These, like, weird half-step consoles. It's like the iPhone market. Where you're keeping it simple, like you just buy a product and use it. You don't ever have to like upgrade a chip or upgrade the RAM or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what you're losing is like, okay, if you want a more powerful one, you just have to buy a whole new machine.
Yeah,
and like that's what I like about the PC and don't like about modern consoles or phones is that it's just like, oh, you have one that's 3 years old, so it's just crappy. You have to spend $1,000 to get a new phone or whatever.
I don't know how you get away with upgrading a computer and not running into a nightmare of problems with it. Every upgrade I've given to my PC over the past couple of years, something stupid has happened because of it. And that is probably the biggest issue for me is that if in a perfect world where I could just slap in a new thing and it works just as fine as it did before or better, great. But when I do add a new video card or a new processor or a new motherboard, something new is broken somewhere and it requires hours upon hours. Or just me sucking it up and accepting a worse product for months because I just can't figure it out. I'm still waiting to send in my video card that I was given last year because it came with a broken fan and I just never got around to sending it in for repairs. Oh, no,
it's going
to
burn out.
And I'm not going to... Well, it just makes a rattling noise. And so when I send it in, I'm not going to have a video card to use for a few weeks or a month. I don't know how long it'll take for them to fix it.
That is annoying. That sucks, man.
And that's just hoping that I get it back working.
Right. Man, that sucks a lot. I have experienced that. Like when I last upgraded my processor, do you remember the nightmare I ran into there?
Mm-hmm. I do, actually. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I'll keep it brief because it could be a long story. But basically, I purchased a brand new motherboard and a brand new processor, the like Series 9 Intel processors, and your motherboard for your computer, the processor has to be the right size to fit the motherboard. And they were the right size. Like the motherboard straight up said, hey, I support this new type of video card that just came out, or this new type of processor that just came out. So it's like, great, these are compatible. And I bought them and my wife bought them as well. And we put hers together and it worked. And then we put mine together and it just didn't work at all. And
ugh.
It didn't tell me why. And the long story of it was that the motherboard did support the video, the new processor, but that functionality got added to it in an update, and my wife's motherboard had the update and my motherboard didn't. But in order to install an update, you need the thing to work. So you have to have one of the older processors that work to install the update that lets the new processor work. And I didn't have an older processor, so I had to have a friend who conveniently lived nearby and had just bought a new computer with an older processor. He was willing to bring his computer to my house, take it apart, take his processor off, put it on my computer long enough for me to install the motherboard update, and then swap it back to his computer so that I could put my new processor in, and then it worked. And that was like a three-hour project, four-hour project
wow.
One day.
Wow. That's a very nice friend. Oh my goodness.
He was very nice to me to let me do that to his computer. But at the same way, I find that stuff kind of fun, right? Like, that's my hobby. Other people have cars and their own nonsense that they like messing with. I like messing with computers. So it was like half annoying because I had to do this weird thing to get my computer to work that I spent a bunch of money on. But it was also kind of fun to like have my buddy over and tear down our computers and swap cards around and then like update it so it all worked. And then it worked and it felt great. You got a
good question.
Takes a certain kind of person.
Was there another question? Oh, I guess just more specific. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Super, good question. A Super Switch with modular ability would be my dream console. We actually have one or two Discord questions to get to before we end the podcast, so we'll hit those real fast because we could
merge our answers to where it's a Super Switch.
Uh-huh.
But you plug it into a dock, and the dock has like an external GPU and an external processor, and that's where you like upgrade all the stuff. But at the same time, it also has keyboard and mouse support. Boom. And you can mod it by just installing like Homebrew or whatever it's called on it.
Let me tell you the real answer to this question, and this isn't a joke. I think this is actually going to be the way it goes.
Oh, okay.
The real super console is going to be a portable device using like 6G or whatever like modern wireless technology will be.
Oh no. Yeah.
To stream the game to the device. But you can have your console experience where you pay $15 a month to use the Google Cloud servers, and I can just build a home server and stream from that. So like I will have a computer running the game, sending it to my portable device. And you can pay for a computer to send it to your device that you don't have to mess with or upgrade.
Yeah.
I think that's actually how it's going to go. Or we'll all just use the subscription service and no one will build their own machines anymore, except for weirdos that enjoy it as a hobby.
Old-fashioned weirdos who like to have their... Man, I still can't dream of a world where streaming is like the norm and it works well enough. Even if there's one blip in a gameplay session, I feel like it wouldn't be worth it for me.
It depends on the popular games, right? Like Genshin Impact, I play on the phone with lag, and it works because like you don't need precise timing that much in that game. But and it's still fun and it's great. And like if that game was hosted on a server somewhere and I streamed it, I would feel fine. Hmm. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to play like Heroes of the Storm or Overwatch or anything like that.
Oh, okay. You said we had Discord questions.
Yes, we have Discord questions. Question number one comes from Pizzazz Spaz, wonderful moderator and wife of the podcast. It says, what is your favorite arcade memory from being a kid? Most likely inspired by our arcade talk earlier.
We didn't have arcades where I grew up.
Had you like never been to like a traditional arcade?
I probably still haven't. Not like a traditional one.
Huh. Okay. Well, I really like... What's up?
You go ahead. I'll have an answer.
Okay. I really like the arcade game Time Crisis. That's the one where you have the pedal you step on and your guy, it's a shooter, and your guy like pops out of cover and you shoot the guys and you let go of the pedal with your foot and you go back behind it. And it's at like every arcade place. And so growing up, every time I went there, I would look for Time Crisis. And usually the older version, like when Time Crisis 3 was the big one, Time Crisis 2 would be cheaper. And now Time Crisis 4 is out, and so Time Crisis 3 is cheaper. So, like, I remember watching, like, the big kids play Time Crisis, and they would get to, like, the last level. It looks so cool. And I just really like Time Crisis. That's a fun arcade memory for me.
Nice.
What about you?
Not really arcade games, but it's the closest I got from where I grew up.
Okay.
In Animal Crossing on GameCube, you could... some very special furniture items that you could get in the game were actual like NES game ports, Again, yeah. this is the closest I got to arcade games. So I actually played a lot of like, what is it called?
Oh, I know, not Balloon Kid or whatever, the Nintendo one with the little fish.
What? I've never forgot Balloon NES game. Balloon Fight. Okay, yeah. I played a lot of Balloon Fight, a lot of Donkey Kong, a lot of Mario Bros, because all of these games were in Animal Crossing as a furniture item. So, yeah, that's best I got.
Cool. Good question. Thank you for the question. And our final question for the podcast is going to be, if you had to choose only VR games for life or arcade games for life, what would you choose? I don't know about you, but I feel like this is a pretty easy one.
Yeah, I was giving you the hit. I was like, what is the answer, Daniel?
The correct answer is VR, because let me give you three reasons. One, VR is just super cool. We talk about it all the time. Two, arcade games are just, well, they're doing two things. They're either, this is actually reason two and three. One, arcade games are declining in quality, in my opinion. Or, as I learned last weekend, they're just turning into VR games, in which case I'll just play VR games anyways.
Oh,
so
I thought you were going to mention that arcade games are built specifically to gouge you of money and give you game over screens and say, here, put in a few extra dollars to keep playing. Meanwhile, you can get a full experience of VR.
But so are most free-to-play games. So, but you're right. That's an excellent reason why arcade games design as a whole are just kind of rough. VR is great. I don't think VR is the future on its own.
I don't think so either.
I think it has its place, and I like playing those games a lot.
Yep. The Facebook ads so. Where it's like, oh, this guy's playing with a controller. This guy's playing on his PC.
With his mind.
I'm playing on VR. The best play. I'm like, what? No, you can't replace those things with VR.
I'm not going to sit down and play Madden and Call of Duty
exactly.
on my Oculus.
Like, unless every game you want us to like put on in a 3D environment, like on a screen,
right.
and then still play with a controller.
Right. I mean, maybe one day if the technology's there, right? Like, if they blend the headset with real life, you get augmented reality, where it's like I can make a screen appear or mm-hmm. I can black it out and make it look like you're in VR.
Yeah.
And if that resolution is equivalent to looking at a screen, right? Maybe I'll sit down, put some goggles on and like look at my wall and play Madden or something.
Yeah.
But like
even
the frame
then
rate,
though, like this mostly applies to me. I get super hot and sweaty. Even if it's comfortable, even if my room is cool, I'll still get hot with that thing on my face.
Yeah,
that's
it's like
why
the,
I think it
the,
could
the
never.
The weight of the machine has to be taken away. Like, there's so many leaps in technologies we have to make. It has to be like the difference between, like,
put on glasses, like, boom, VR.
Yeah. 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 And to me, that leap, like, from goggles to glasses is going to be like the phone leap from like a T9 cell phone to like smartphones.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Like, smart VR devices, right? They're not going to be called that, but whatever, like, super VR, like, this huge innovation. Now it's just like super light and streamed from some computer and the Wi-Fi is so fast you can't tell, whatever, like mm-hmm. that's the real future. I remember last week I said I had a bunch of problems with my router. I was researching buying new routers, and the new Wi-Fi standard, Wi-Fi 6, is coming out, and Oculus Quest 2 is compatible with the new standard.
Ooh.
There's only a few routers on the market that have the new standard, but I've been reading reviews that people who have both the new router and the Oculus say that the wireless streaming is actually better than the Oculus Link cable, in their opinion. That it is
what?
That it is so high quality and low latency that they prefer it over using the Link cable.
Wow.
And,
that's cool.
That's exciting to me. Yeah, like I can't wait for that standard to be available. Like I almost went, when my router was breaking, I was like, I could either spend 3 hours like reversing the firmware back to a good firmware, mm-hmm. or I could spend like $250 on a Wi-Fi 6 router and be able to stream to my headset that I spent like $300 for the headset, which whatever, but I did not end up pulling the plug on that one, but because I have my laptop, which can play VR anywhere, so I don't really mm-hmm. need the Wi-Fi one. But yeah, I'm excited for that kind of thing. I think that'll be cool.
Very nice.
Boy, oh boy, what a podcast. Thank you for joining me, Jordan. Thank you for joining me, dear listener. Make sure to send us your questions in any of those ways. Email patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com, patientplayers.com/discord in the questions channel, or join us next weekend live for the next recording of the Patient Players podcast. Head over to patientplayers.com/listen. That will give you links to all of the ways to listen to the podcast and to the social media accounts if you want to follow what we're doing throughout the week. We really appreciate that. This is a very small operation, a small podcast, as you can tell. So let someone know if you enjoy the podcast. Share it with a friend. Share it with someone who you think enjoys games the way we do, enjoys the comedy style, and would appreciate the podcast. And of course, for us small-time podcasters, it means a great deal if you take the minute or two out of your day, leave reviews on Spotify, on iTunes, on any of the various services. Thank you very much for that, guys. And we will see you next week.
Hey, goodbye.